Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour here of Darren Donick and Chase from Predators Training Camp here at Centennial Sportsplex. We've had a couple of great interviews. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Daniel Carr, one of the newest Predators who is trying to fight for the last roster spot or two. He is among, there's only three more cuts that have to be made, and there will be some tough decisions that have to happen later in the week. But he has made a very good impression so far. The AHL MVP last year, he has scored some goals and had moments of success at the NHL level. And so we'll see what happens. Intriguing guy to watch. We're waiting on Derek Mason, the head football coach at Vanderbilt. He should be joining us any minute now as they turn the page on Saturday's game against LSU and get set for what I say is the biggest game of the season. It's a tone setter. It's a gotta-have-it kind of game as Northern Illinois comes in. Northern Illinois is a quality football program. But Vanderbilt has got to take the positives out of playing this difficult schedule and not come in and just take for granted that you're playing a team from the MAC and not the number three or number four team in the country.
I'm curious of how they approach it because their schedule is not easy. I'm not saying it gets easier, but they are past the two toughest games, and then Purdue being right in the middle was tough in its own right, as we know. So they're 0-3. So I am curious of now if you kind of look at it, and we'll ask him when he comes on, do you hit reset, so to speak? Do you just, because you can't change those first three games. You can't change how that went, and now you go and you focus and you try and you'll get one win and then two and then three, you know, to steal an old James Franklin line, then you try and go 1-0 every week. I mean, I think that has to be the mindset for the Commodores as they get ready to play Northern Illinois. But, look, they were dealt a tough hand. I think this team is a lot better than we've seen. They've just played really, really tough teams.
But they've got to do it, though. They've got to win against Northern Illinois. They've got to build more confidence. They've got to make winning plays. And because a lot of those games, those swing games, let's just reel them off. Ole Miss, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina. They could lose all those games. You could lose every one of those if you're not ready to play. So you can play well and lose, you know, they're trying to come out with, you know, what did we take positive from playing such a tough schedule? But it only means something if they can turn them into victories here from here on out. That's why they've got to set the tone on Saturday. It's so important. There's been a big trade in the NHL. We're still waiting for Coach Mason. And this is one that's been floating out there. Justin Falk, tough, hard-nosed defenseman.
Wow.
For the Carolina Hurricanes. He basically vetoed a trade that would have sent him to the Ducks. He's a free agent at the end of the season. So basically what happened is he couldn't work out a deal with the Ducks, vetoed the trade. Instead, he gets traded to the St. Louis Blues. Mm. So the Blues pick up Justin Falk
and
a fifth-round pick in 2020.
For Joel Edmondson, prospect Dominic Bach, and a seventh-round pick. And then Falk goes on to sign a seven-year extension worth $45.5 million, 6.5 a year.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a pretty
good day
big
for him.
Deal. Now, Joel Edmondson's a very good player. So it's more of a cost-controlled move for the Hurricanes. They get back some value for a guy that they were going to lose at the end of the season. But a seven-year deal, so a big commitment by the Blues. Justin Falk fits right in with how the Blues play. Tough, hard nose, got some skill. So the Blues, I think, in the immediate, they just got better.
And this is the time now as training camps are coming to a close. You got a couple of preseason games left. You have, like, you know, like the Preds do, they have a couple of roster spots open and more fighting. That's when you start seeing some trades. So the trade winds could pick up a little bit with this is a pretty big move, but there could be some minor moves. And just teams trying to tweak the rosters as they get ready to start the regular season.
I don't know much about Bach, this prospect. That to me would be a key piece of info as to what the Hurricanes got. And of course, the Hurricanes we're gonna be seeing a lot. I wouldn't doubt that we see this guy in one of these games here, Dominic Bach. But Hurricanes trying to build on the special season that they had last year. So we'll see.
The Blues, obviously coming off the Stanley Cup win, looking to get a little better.
With that, we have made contact with Coach Derek Mason. He is on the line with us as they get set for Northern Illinois on Saturday. And, Coach, we were just talking about the mindset of your team, how important this week is, turning the page from playing such a tough team against LSU to playing a team that may not, have headlines and scare you the way that an LSU team does, but a good football program and your team is going to have to play well to get a W.
Yeah, I mean, the mindset is that of working on the things that we should be working on and making sure, man, that we understand that the only thing you can do this week is try to go 1-0. So Northern Illinois, captures our attention. And because when you look since 2010, that program has had, 6 10-win seasons. Coach Hammack is as good a coach as there is in the MAC. And when you talk about their brand of football, he came through that Coach Novak era. And when you look at who they are and what they've done, they've always been physical. They've always been, tough teams. I mean, they're always going to play you well. And they've been giant killers. I don't consider us a giant. I consider us a program that's working towards where we want to be. So, and they've got our attention. We fully respect who they are and what they do. And now, we've got to make sure that we understand what's happened in the first quarter of the season and apply it to the second quarter and make sure that we get it right.
What do you think is the biggest thing you learn about your team facing the tough schedule that they face? You didn't get any wins out of it, but what did you learn?
And I learned that this team, is tough. Can make adjustments, from week to week. I wish that they were larger, but they made adjustments. Talk about driving the penalties down, they did. Talk about getting some sacks, they did. Needed to find a way to get the ball, and they scored on defense twice. Offensively, I think we've been able to now get healthy with the offensive line, and that's going to benefit us down the road. And I've had to play some rotational players. We're just still trying to find chemistry, but these guys are about the process. They understand, you can't be outcome driven. You got to be process driven. And like for us, man, we just got to continue, to make sure that we, nullify the things that don't matter and focus on the things that do.
What do you think, as you mentioned, the offensive line, you've had some guys banged up. The Riley Neal, new quarterback, has had to fight through all of that. He's faced some very tough defenses.
Right.
Your thoughts on Riley Neal at this point and how he's tried to mature into that role and get tougher and now move forward to the next stage?
Yeah, I like Riley Neal. He is a starting quarterback. I like, his attributes. I like his football IQ. He's got to clean things up just like everybody else. It's been, difficult, with the rotation of guys and, guys we've had to play, but through it, man, we've been able to build some depth, and I think that's going to benefit him. Everybody right now has got to, farm their own lamb, and they got to work on what they need to work on. And, Riley's no different. Obviously he's been good, situationally. He's gotten the ball to his guys, but we need more accuracy, man. We need, a little better command of the game and situational ball. And right now, his leadership has really got to start to show. So, we all got things to improve on. Everybody's got to grab that 1%. And hopefully, this football team, starts to move in the direction that we need to go. And these guys feel it. These guys feel the sense of urgency. These guys aren't panicked at all, but they feel the sense of urgency. They understand that 0-3 is not where we want to be, but now, on the second half or second quarter of the season, man, that it's time to go. So let's get it.
Coach Derek Mason is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And Coach, I know this is a team sport, so stay with me on this question, but Keyshawn Vaughn does, have a pretty good individual performance against LSU. It's all about confidence sometimes in this game. What does that do for his confidence? Obviously, you want to get the win. I know that is the goal. But to get him going, what did that mean?
Key Keyshawn started slow last year, and I thought this year, you know, I mean, he had to work harder. And he played in a tough Georgia team and ran hard. Okay, I mean, he ran hard versus Purdue, just didn't get as many opportunities. I thought this game, and he showed exactly who he is, and he did it against, you know, one of the top, you know, I mean, two or three teams in the country. So it's just who he is. He shows up every day to work. I don't ever wonder what Keyshawn Vaughn's going to do. I don't wonder what Pinckney's going to do. I don't wonder what you know, McElijah is going to do. If they have a bad day, they have a bad day. You know, these guys, you know how to play football. We need everybody else to rise, you know, to their level of preparation and really performance. And, you know, I definitely expect Keyshawn to keep going. I mean, he came into this game wanting to play well. He came out of it exactly how he worked last week, and now, I mean, he's on to the next one. So that's who he is right now.
You talk about Riley Neal, and then the big three, of course, as we always bring up. But how about the rest of your offense and the other players that you're starting to see shine and start to step up?
Yeah, I got to give them some credit to these young tackles. You know, but to be a redshirt freshman and a redshirt sophomore, and to have gone through the first three games and the first part of the schedule as Jonathan Stewart and Tyler Steen have. I mean, it's been impressive to watch. These guys have had to stand up along with, Grant Miller at center. They've played, solid football, but, we need their best, and, the future's going to be bright up front on the offensive line. I think wideout-wise, we've seen, a variety of guys from Cam Johnson to Chris Pierce to, I'm looking out there. Justice Shelton Mosley is doing his thing, in different ways. We've just got guys, and these guys, are going to get touches through the floor of the offense. They're going to make plays. I think they're dynamic. CJ Bowlers, needs to start get going, because I think, he's capable of having big games. But right now, man, we've got weapons. We just got to focus on the things that we need to fine-tune right now, and I think that's going to lead us forward, and it all starts with Northern Illinois.
Coach, we appreciate you joining us, as always, every week. Go get them this weekend, and we look forward to talking to you next Tuesday.
All right, I'll see you next Tuesday. Let's anchor down.
All right, that is Derek Mason, Vanderbilt head football coach. Northern Illinois is indeed up next, a big game for the Commodores to try to record their first win of the season and get things going. I mean, we all knew that
it's the biggest game of the year. They've got to have it. This is the game that has to start them going in the right path. If they lose this game,
you got to get right.
0-4, I just think that they'll swing games. I worry about the confidence and digging out of that hole. This game means so much in terms of setting the tone, because it's not a gimme. They're not a three-touchdown favorite. Northern Illinois is a good program.
Well, what is it? Like a touchdown?
It's like a touchdown. Yeah.
I just saw it.
Six and a half, seven.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's fluctuated. But
6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fanny by 6.5.
I mean, Northern
Illinois.
Going
to have to play well to win.
Usually has been a really good program.
I mean, they've had
they go to a lot of bowl games.
Absolutely.
But I look at this just being, obviously you got to win, but from a confidence standpoint. They just got to get one.
Yeah.
And once you get one, that can change a lot of things.
Yeah, because given the fact that who they've played, right, it can demoralize you some, but this is the game where if you're mentally right, you say, let's be hungry for a win. Let's be hungry to show everybody what we can do against a team that's a little more favorable with the matchup, and this is taking nothing away from Northern Illinois. But, I mean, if they're a team that is going to go to a bowl game, this is a game they've got to win. That's just pure and simple, right? And if they show up and they just say, "Well, we've played Georgia, we played LSU, so we should just roll out here and win against Northern Illinois," they're going to have another thing coming.
Right.
That's the recipe for 0-4. That's the trap.
Looks like a team in the Predators division has made a trade. We'll tell you about it.
Well, we already told you about it.
Yeah, we've already told you.
You weren't here.
Okay.
We talked about it.
We're fine.
Yeah.
We're fine. Okay. I had to step away.
We literally just talked about it.
I had to limp away. Okay.
Okay. Are you getting checked out? Are you getting treatment?
Back.
Are you getting treatment?
I think we're going to talk. We're going to chat.
Just sneak
with the
back there in the training room?
Just saying I had to hobble away.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase live here at Centennial Sportsplex on ESPN 102.5, the game. Don't forget Silly Underdog Picks on Thursday. We'll make ours at noon. Well, we'll review and then make our picks. Some of us will want to hear the review. Some will not. You've got a chance to play along with us. Don't forget, you, the listeners, get to pick three games every week. Wish we could pick three. I think maybe that would change things.
Maybe we'd be out of the cellar.
You gotta like your chances.
Or maybe we would just be 0 for a lot more. I don't know. But play along with us. We have weekly winners. We have grand prizes, tickets to upcoming sporting events, concerts. Go to the Nashville game or thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play now. Silly underdog picks, of course, every week. Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
I got one for you, Darren. I heard you bring it up with Mitch Light. Because let's be honest, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, we just got done talking about, they're going to have to win some games as underdogs if they're going to have the season that they're looking for. They're going to be underdogs in some of these games. You intimated that you're hearing some things about players, because it's happening in every locker room right now, right? You're in that four-week threshold where eligibility is at stake for some players, and they have to decide, hey, if I'm going to transfer, this may be the time to do it, or else I lose a year, or do I stick it out and hope things get better for me, for the team, et cetera? And I can tell you, there are a lot of times where in a given week or a given month, things can really seem bad, but it may not be the same in another month, another 3 months, another year, if you stick it out. And that's hard for an 18, 19, 20-year-old to understand. But with all the tumultuousness surrounding the program at Tennessee right now, a fairly new coach, you kind of intimated there's some guys you're hearing, there's some rumblings there, some guys that might leave.
Well, we've already seen that happen, right? Even after the Georgia State loss, we saw a couple guys fly the coop. And yet, you're right, this is the time when guys will shut it down to save that year of eligibility. Look, that rule is in place, and players, as we know, they're taking full advantage of it. In fact, as you bring that up, I'm sitting here looking in the last couple of minutes. It's been announced that South Carolina's DB, Jamest Williams, has decided he's going to hit the transfer portal, okay? And we're going to see this all over the place.
It goes back, though. Is this a good rule? Is it a good thing that
at this point, it really doesn't matter. It's there, so it's happening. At this point, it really doesn't matter what you think.
That is another discussion, and I'm sure next summer we'll be discussing whether that's the right thing.
I mean, we know Nick Saban's thoughts.
He's
not a fan.
Definitely. And I think we've heard this on a number of different fronts, that there is something to be said in a lot of cases for the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and there are success stories of guys sticking out. There's also a lot of success stories of guys transferring. But when you're in that moment, and things aren't working out for you, and you're in a team situation where you look ahead and the outlook in the immediate future looks bleak, I just wonder how that affects some of these decisions that are made. Because it's a big decision. Sometimes I think from afar it's, so-and-so's transferring to so-and-so. But think about it, you're moving.
Yeah.
You're changing, you know, where you're going to go. You don't know where you're going to go next in some cases.
Willie, Gardner Minshew, is that his name? The Jags quarterback?
Yeah, he was all over the place.
He played four places in 4 years.
Right. I mean, that's a great
nobody
example.
Brings that up.
Right.
He played in four places.
I mean, I personally
I'm sure there
were
some tough times.
I don't care. I think if, you know, because a lot of times with so many players on a college roster that you're going to have somebody that is capable of playing, but there's a guy that's a tick better than you, so you're not going to play. So I have no issue with that. You go to play for a certain coach, and that coach leaves or gets fired. I don't have a problem with that. So I'm not as against the transfer thing as a lot of people are.
Why would you be against it? I mean, honestly.
It creates more intrigue.
Well, but why? The coaches have had all the power for all this time. Why? So these kids have power. I mean, some it's a great decision. Some it's a horrible decision.
Right.
But That's life. They'll have to figure that out as adults anyway. I mean, they're adults, but I'm saying after college, they'll have to figure this stuff out. So how is it a bad thing? Boo-hoo that the coaches don't like.
And also the red shirt.
These guys are leaving. They're quitting. No, they don't like. That's life. You're supposed to stick in there. Give me a break, okay? Things change. You get to up and move whenever you want as a coach because something presented itself to be
better.
So why can't a kid who's 18, right. 19, 20 when something presents itself to be better.
That's my point.
To move on.
That's my point. Yeah. That's why I think it's a good thing.
Also, it's a compromise, too, is the red shirt option is there. You can play a few games.
Yep.
Hey, red shirt, you still have another year.
Which is what we're talking about.
I mean, I'm saying if you stay, you can play the four games in red shirt.
Correct.
Stay where you are lose a year.
Keenan, the quarterback at Houston.
Right. Maybe doing it.
Who knows?
But let's get back to Tennessee. They're thin on talent, right? They weren't left a good situation. And you're trying to build talent. You're trying to build recruiting classes. So how bad? I mean, Alabama could lose three guys, and you're saying, well, Alabama's got so much depth, they're probably transferring because they just weren't going to play at Alabama.
Yeah.
Tennessee doesn't have that luxury of losing some guys that could fit into the plans long term. So how bad is it?
I believe we will hear some names this week. And let me ask you guys this. Does anybody think the guy who's going to be – does anybody believe Garantano is going to be on this team next year? Or does he grad transfer? He's graduating.
So that's
he'll have another year.
That has changed.
Does anybody believe he'll be here?
These games.
That's a good question.
These four games have changed everything.
I don't. At this point, how in the world do you think that he is? Think about all the staffs, the offensive coordinators, and a whole lot of losing in Knoxville, right? And let's be honest. Right now, you know, the fans are on him. They're on Chaney. They're on Pruitt.
They're on everybody.
They're on everybody, but I mean, he's getting a lot of it. Does anybody think he's going to be? I could easily see him grad transferring out of here the minute this season is over.
But not now.
Else.
He's not in this
transfer portal now.
Graduate and then see what your options are.
I think after this year, I think he'll have another year of eligibility, and I think he'll be a grad transfer, and I think he will pick a spot that makes sense for him, and I think he will try to get a fresh start somewhere else. Under, you know, a new coaching staff and a new program. But I don't believe right now there's no way. And I don't have any inside information on this, but I just don't believe for a minute that he'll be back next year. I just don't see it.
It's a great point. I had not thought about it that far ahead because I wonder what will happen over the next 3 or 4 weeks with him and the quarterback situation there.
Yeah. Right,
and because there's an argument to be made of, hey, if that is the case,
then why wouldn't you start?
Just see what you got with the other guys. Yeah. And throw them into the fire. See what you got.
But here's the problem, though. You've got a coach that's on thin ice.
Yeah.
So the coach is trying to figure out the best option to start racking up some wins because, you know, let's be honest. Right now, 5-win season last year and 5 maybe this year. So that's not a good start for Jeremy Pruitt.
That's a generous maybe.
That's right. So security for him, he's just trying to win games. He's not interested in what the future looks like because he may not be a part of the
future.
And I think
it also depends on what happens with the coach. I mean, he could be – in his mind right now, he could be like, I'm out of here at the end of the year. I can't play for this guy. But if they make a change, you know, towards the end of the season, then who knows?
That's – it's a great point because I wonder if in his mind, I don't know at all, but and you hope he's a good enough kid that he would give everything he's got to this year because it's only going to help him create options for himself whether he stays or goes. But if his mind is, I'm out of here at the end of the year, how does that affect how he finishes this year?
Right?
If your mind is already, well, I got to find another
place. It depends on what
do you remember what I said about when I came on these airwaves and said about Tyson Helton?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What did I say? It was already predetermined. He was gone.
Right.
Yeah. He already knew he was going to Western Kentucky. And we all know what that last game looked like against Vanderbilt, right?
Yes. It didn't look good.
No, it did not. All right, when we come back, we'll check in. And get a little medical status.
Oh, we're getting the injury report.
Yeah, let's get a little injury report when we come back. Also, if you missed Peter Laviolette, a really good conversation with him back in the first hour of the program. We'll have a little bit of that, too, before we get out of here. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Big fan of Corey Hart, are you?
I don't wear my sunglasses at night.
No?
I did the other day.
At night?
I did.
That's kind of cheesy.
No, it was cool. I felt good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did people make fun of you?
No, they said I looked good.
Really?
Yeah. They said I could pull it off. And then they wanted to wear them.
So okay.
Do you remember the guy that came up through the Brewer system who played for the Sounds for a while, then he had a pretty good run?
Corey Hart. Yeah.
I mean, did you ever watch a game where he came to the plate and you didn't think of that song?
Well, like, for him, I
now batting Corey Hart, it's like you start hearing that bump.
That's all anybody could ever relate to him. Like, he could never get away from that.
He was a good player.
I know, but he couldn't get away from it.
Couldn't get away from it.
All right, let's get an injury report from a professional.
And I have to say, Darren, I requested this interview because I wanted to get some insight.
Uh-huh.
From this, gentleman.
Does that mean you don't trust me?
No. I it wasn't that at all. I just wanted to get this guy's impression when you walked in there. You're like, I got a problem. And like, is he looking at you like, okay, this is a big time athlete. I've got to get the guy back out on the field as fast as I can.
No, he knows that wasn't the case.
No?
No.
Did he do the knee surgery years ago?
Yes. So 12 years ago.
So you have a history. This guy, he knows your medical history.
Yeah.
Dr. Greenberg.
Dr. Robert Greenberg on the line with us, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance. So he's an orthopedic doctor/surgeon, and he now joins us on the program.
So Dr. Greenberg, when Darren walked in, you know, recently, this most recent time, did you just start shaking your head and go, oh, no, here he comes again. Oh. What is breaking down now?
I got a pretty good history with Darren, so I know what's coming. But Darren's a warrior. I know he's going to give it his all. So not a problem. But, yeah, I knew what was coming. I was not too surprised.
So when you took a look at the knee, did you know right away that, hey, we got a problem here, but this may – because we were really worried about another ACL.
I mean, Darren thought it was an ACL.
Yeah,
he was fearing the worst.
I was really concerned.
Yeah. When a guy goes down in a 5-year-old slow pitch baseball, you know it's concerned.
it's 8U. It's 8U. Let's get it right. Come on.
I'm sorry. That was no.
We've graduated.
Yes. But his description did sound like it potentially could be an ACL. But when I saw him, I was pretty sure it wasn't. But he only has a meniscus tear, so I think he's gonna pull through this one easier than the last time.
All right, so but this while we have you, this is in all seriousness, we hear these injuries all the time, right? Your favorite player on your fantasy league.
No, this isn't serious. But this is injuries that we have to talk about.
We also want to know what Darren has in front of him here. So meniscus, you hear that type. So he's going to have surgery to repair it. So what's in it for? In fact, Darius Garland last year torn meniscus. Yep. That cost him his year at Vanderbilt.
It's a lot less than what he had before. So his meniscus is torn in a region where you basically just trim out the torn part. Very few menisci do you actually repair it. And there's some criteria that makes you want to repair it on certain patients in certain situations. But his is one that's torn and is not really going to repair or heal itself. So you basically just trim out the torn part. So the way I think of it, sort of like a fingernail. If it tears, you don't take the whole fingernail off. You just take out the torn part, which is the symptomatic part. So what he has is generally something that will be painful if you put weight on it or twist or turn or bend, that kind of stuff. So when you trim it out, it really takes – go ahead.
I was going to say, so why are there – like, because Willie just said it, Darius Garland was lost for the year. Some guys are out a week or two. I mean, it seems like there's this big, wide margin of when they can come back.
Yeah, there might be some secondary thing because most people can come back pretty quickly. I mean, there are some varied things depending on demand, but, most people are up walking and moving, putting weight on it right away, and you can rehab some people pretty fast depending on the athlete. I think I was telling Darren, I had a guy try out for the Olympics 10, 14 days after doing the same thing on somebody. It's not always easy, but you can go pretty fast after an e-scope.
Dr. Green... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't mean to cut you off. But what I was going to say is how accurate was my novice diagnosis? Because when all this happened, Darren was saying, could be the ACL. I think it's the ACL. But he kept saying that it was hurting. And I was like, listen, I don't ever hear of ACLs. Once you tear it, it's just you just don't have mobility. But it's done at that point. You can get around on it. Was I close on that trying to
somewhat
comfort him?
Well, an ACL, when you tear it, will hurt, and the ACL usually bleeds a little bit. So the knee kind of fills up with blood. So that initial part is pretty sore. But you also probably more than half the time, or about half the time, if you tear an ACL, you'll often tear a meniscus or hurt something else with it. So that can be painful too. But once they quiet down, they're generally not painful. It's more of just a stability problem where if you pivot, you twist or turn, the ACL is really meant to help your knee be stable. And if it's not there, your knee may buckle or give out. So
basically what you're telling us, Doc, is because it's not an ACL and it is meniscus, everything you sort of laid out, Darren should not be whining or anything on the air. He should be able to do his job in a fairly short period of time, and so there should be minimal complaining.
It should be less whining than last time. Completely, totally different level of whining. It should be much less.
So let's wrap
Darren's
it up with this.
Sure.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say this should be a lot easier for Darren. He should be able to, you know, up, walk, and put weight on it the same day, go back to work quickly, and, you know, back to 8-year-old dad pitch baseball almost any time.
Okay. So between a grueling 4-hour radio show, a hockey game, whether it's pregame, postgame, or intermissions, or an 8U baseball game, you think I should be back pretty quickly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, take a couple of days off, relax. But, yeah, I think you'd be going pretty quickly.
Okay. All right.
This is big.
There you go.
This is good.
This is why we had the expert on. Dr. Greenberg, good to hear from you. Good to see you again. And I'm sure, well, we will be chatting soon, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys.
We'll see him again soon.
All right, thanks for doing this. Dr. Robert Greenberg, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance. He actually was in – he's been in and out of surgery all day, so we do appreciate him carving out a few minutes with us.
He carves out your knee. That'll be good.
Wow, thanks, Jesus. That's really comforting. We will come back with Predators head coach Peter Laviolette. That's next. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase here at Centennial Sportsplex. Now joined by Predators head coach Peter Laviolette.
Peter Laviolette has now joined us on the program. He's come down to sit at our level. Monday in the doubleheader, he was up atop getting a different view. How was that to kind of not be on the bench?
Yeah, it was good. You know, that game early on with the doubleheader, I really like it because it's a great opportunity to see a good portion of our players. You know, from a system standpoint, a lot of our guys have been here for so many years now that it's more of a reminder than implementing something new, and we felt like we had a pretty good handle on it. So to sit with David Poyle and just to talk about what we saw and talk about some of the players, I feel like it was really a good day for all of us. So we kept our some of our big guys out. That was a change as well. We usually played them in this game, and it was an opportunity for them to get some time together and work on the power play and really slow things down and go through some routes and some movements and let Dan Lambert take over and do his thing. And so when we finally did put them together in the game, there was a lot of positives with that as well. But, gave us that day alone, just sitting up top, gave us a chance to look at things.
Yeah, it is. Look, we've all sat down on the glass, albeit not on the bench, and we've all been up where you are in the TV booth and where you were. I mean, it is a different perspective. Well, it sounds silly, but it is a different perspective.
You have no idea how fast this game and how physical this game is until you sit
down
on the glass or on the bench and see the power behind it. And every row you move up, it slows down. And so where I'm sitting up there, it looks slow at times. But and you can actually see things developing, which you can't. Sometimes you're looking through it when you're on the bench. And when you're above it, you get a much better view of the routes and the systems and what it is that you're trying to do. So, if you usually sit up high and you ever get the opportunity to sit down low, you'll see the speed and the power of the game.
I learned, Peter, a long time ago to not doubt coaches, because I used to be like, oh, hooey-fooey, it's coach speak. You know, talk about these camp battles. There's not really battles. They know who's going to be. I learned that, no, there actually are camp battles. And so when you say that certain guys are vying for a position,
right,
every year, they really are. Sometimes it plays out and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
You've got some intriguing camp battles here this year. I remember last year, this time we're going, who's this little Rocco Grimaldi guy that the Panthers took in the second round?
Sure, that's a perfect example. And, when we say it, it's true. And that's a player that wasn't on our team. So you're talking about a player that wasn't on our team. right now we're looking for somebody to play 18 minutes a night up front on the forward position. And so that's a battle inside of our camp, and we're trying to evaluate that to get that right and to get that piece right. And it doesn't have to be something that's written in stone and that's it. It's the way it is. But right now we're looking to start something and then maybe show a little bit of patience with it as well and give it an opportunity to see if there's some chemistry. There's guys that were on our team last year that might have been scratched, and right now they're looking to get into the lineup. So those battles do take place in camp. But Rocco Grimaldi is a great example of somebody who impressed the crap out of us in training camp last year, and we were able to watch him grow as a player. We had to send him down to the American Hockey League. If you remember, to start the year, he was one of their top scorers and really did an excellent job. We found ourselves in a position where we needed a player and never looked back. He was one of our stronger players as we moved through that Dallas series. So it just goes to show you that there's something always available if you come and work hard every day and try to do the right things and play with passion and purpose. Good things can happen.
I want to make you uncomfortable. I want to talk about you.
Sure, sure.
Year 6.
Let me figure out how I can deflect this really quick.
At least I gave you a heads up, right?
Now I'm thinking about it, okay? Now I can put it on. What a beautiful day it is today, isn't it? Gorgeous outside.
Let's go back 6 years ago when you took this post, which, by the way, year 6. That time has flown.
Yeah.
The mindset of you coming into this market, not that you were unaware, but you had spent a lot of Eastern Conference. Haven't really spent any time here, to where you are today and that everything in between. What has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I feel like I'm the luckiest coach in the league for being in Nashville, Tennessee, with our ownership, with our management, with the players that are in the room right now, with the coaches that I get to work with every day, and the fan base for me. And to watch the fan base grow and explode to where it is right now, I tell people all the time, and then I have friends that come in. I just had friends for this last exhibition game come in. My son plays down at Florida Gulf Coast University, and the moms came up. They call themselves moms of champions, because they back to back national titles. Nice. Down at FGCU. So 6 of them were in town, and my wife went with them. And I had some friends from my high school hockey team in town, and their kids. And they were obviously older now, not in high school. So they've got kids that are now turning 21 and 23. So they came to Nashville. They could not believe the building, the rink, the atmosphere. And it was a preseason game.
I know.
It was a preseason game.
It was an incredible
atmosphere. And so, I mean, I've been here watching. And you're right. I've spent all my time in the East. And if you remember going back, there was a time where the East only came to Nashville once every third year.
Yeah, right.
You'd only play the division.
That's right.
And so, you know, I might not have been here for 3 years. There's a chance that on that third year I could have been fired. Like, I might have missed it. I might have missed the trip. Yeah. I might not even have made it. And so I feel like I was hardly ever in Nashville. I didn't know anything about it. And I remember when we were taking the job and I was talking to David Poile, we were leaving to coach the World Championships that next morning at like 6 a.m. And there was a decision being made that night. My wife and I are looking like, Nashville? Are we doing Nashville? Like, we're not even sure about what it's all about. And for me right now, Nashville, one of the best cities in the United States. Nashville is Predator hockey, one of the best hockey markets in the United States. It's just awesome. I love it.
Good job by you working in two back-to-back national champions.
Yeah, FGCU. moms of champions.
That's nice.
Well, speaking of the moms, I was talking to your wife, Kristen, and you mentioned your connection to the East, but your daughter Elizabeth is now committed to play Boston College. So you and Mike Vrabel have got to get a little chapter like the Boston College fan club here. He's got a son playing up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, I mean, Brian Poile, Boston College,
and the
Poiles. And so there's lots of people who, you know, have gone to Boston College. It was a long process this summer with my daughter. We spent a lot of time, and we have spent a lot of time. She's a good softball player. She's a real good student. We were looking at a couple of teams up. She wanted to go back to New England. I said, you know, have you ever really played softball in New England? Are you sure? Like, we're Florida residents, and Jack goes to FGCU. Yeah. I'm like, FGCU still talking to you? Are you sure? And you're not going to wear a T-shirt until, like, your second playoff game. And so she was adamant. She wanted to go north. And so we were looking at a couple of really good schools up there, like Brown and MIT and Boston College. We went and visited, and it became available, and it became an option for her to play and go to school there. And We quick booked a flight and went up and toured the campus, and it was spectacular, just spectacular. She, you know, she's grown up with hockey her whole life. Since she's been 3 years old, she's been going to hockey games. She wanted to go to a college where she could support a hockey team, like a big-time hockey team. She loves going to her Brentwood High School football team on a Friday night. She wanted to support her college football team. I mean, she's got it going on. She's playing big-time softball, and, you know, she's going to get that experience from a hockey standpoint, from a football standpoint, from a school standpoint. She wanted to be near Boston. She wanted to be near our family. So we're just over the moon about her being able to go there and be a part of that program.
Now, I was told, now you tell me your version of this story, that Brentwood High, you know, she's the captain, senior, the players-only practices, you know, get-togethers, workouts, and she had to shut you out. You wanted to come in and with the glove, and she said, you can't come.
I did. I had my catcher's mitt ready to go, and I'm thinking, well, if you hit ground balls and if you do everything, you're not going to get to work yourself.
Yeah.
So me and another dad, like we're all geared up. We're in our sweats, and we got our ball cap on. I got my catcher's mitt from when my first son got into baseball when he was 6 years old, so 15 years ago. I got my mitt ready to go. And she's looking at me. She's like, you're not coming, Dad. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not coming? And so I was, like, so dejected walking around. She went out the door, and Kristen's looking at me like, I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't go practice? So captain's practice only.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the guys have come back. Like, you could put together a tournament last year of the really good teams like you guys that lost in the first round. I mean, it's a tough league. The Tampa Bay Lightning, go on down the list.
Yeah.
So that's got to be tough to live with over the summer. But it looks like the guys have come back with a good attitude. The success has been good in the game so far. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think every day away from a tough ending. And let's be honest, they're all tough. It was tough 2 years ago, and we made it. We went to the second round. They're just tough. We're in the business of winning and being successful, and we want to be successful inside of that room. And when it doesn't happen, it's tough. Every day away from that put you towards the brighter future that's out there and the new season that's out there. And so as the end of July rolls around and guys start getting back on the ice in August, that's almost in the rearview mirror. Certainly you remember what happened, but it's more about trying to see what's coming and trying to get ready for that and prepared for that. And as they get to training camp, we got a great group of guys in there. I mean, they come back in shape, and they're unbelievable people. As you guys know, just dealing with them, they're terrific human beings first and foremost. So that makes my job a lot easier. And so we're fortunate about that. We've got great leadership in the room, and training camp's gone really well. It's been fast. It's been physical. There's been guys vying for jobs, and I really like the way we played the games. You know, we got the one loss down in Tampa, but we sent a group down there that was, we were missing some real key veteran players. I love the way we played. I mean, we had that game. We were doing the right things, and now Kucherov scored a big goal. Go figure, yeah, right? With 30 seconds to go, and we didn't get the results. But it was more about, for me, it's, you know, in training camp, it's really about the process and the evaluation and trying to get things onto the ice and get them going well. I thought we played a competitive game down there. We just didn't get the results we were looking for. So things have gone good. We got a couple games left where we're still evaluating and still want to get better, and that's our goal.
Peter Laviolette is with us, Predators head coach. And I told these guys that I ran into at Brent's dinner. We talked for a few minutes, and I said he was over the moon about the rookies. And this was after the rookie showcase.
Yeah.
Now that you've seen them all through a training camp, what did you learn about the youngsters in this organization?
Well, what I really liked about the rookies, just starting going back to the rookie camp, was I've been here now for, this is my 6-1 where I've watched the rookies play. To me, we looked like we were more NHL ready. And just the way we played that game, I thought we played excellent in the rookie games. We found success, and that had to do with the players that were on the ice. And so I thought it was really good starting there. And then you know, they start to make that move into the big camp, and they're starting to mix with our guys that have been here, and they start to play games. And again, I was just impressed in practice and in games. You know, we just sent a whole bunch of guys down to Milwaukee to either, A, continue their career or start their pro career. That doesn't mean we're disappointed with them. Those moves have to be made. You're only allowed to keep 23 players, and those players are available to us at any point. Whenever we want a player, but we want to keep them playing, we want to keep them developing. And all of our players have gone through that. from Colton Sissons to Victor Arvidsson to Philip Forsberg, Kalle Yonkrok, Roman Josi, Pekka Rinne. It's a development league, and we need them on the ice and developing. And when they are ready, when they do start to make that move up, and they might go back to Milwaukee and then maybe up again, there's no set path on how it works. You know that they've been developed the right way. And so we're thrilled with the way the guys played. And you know, sometimes you even they look at going to Milwaukee as a demotion. We look at it as part of the process.
Good stuff from the head coach, Peter Laviolette. Appreciate him stopping by. Busy schedule for him today, making a little time for us. That will do it for us today. So from one rink to another, we go from Centennial to tomorrow, back at Bridgestone Arena. Final home game in the preseason for the Predators. It'll be the Preds and the Hurricanes. You have a great rest of your day. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.